Well, good evening, everybody. We are live again this week at the Antlers on East Portage Avenue, another edition of the Laker Hockey Show, the fastest program on radio, I think. We get it in here, and it seems like we've been here for 10 minutes, and we're done each week. Very cold outside tonight. Great January day. This winter's been a piece of cake so far. We love it. We don't have Chris with us tonight, but I can tell you that happy hour has been extended through the month of January from 4 to 6 p.m., and then 8 p.m. till closing. And to Pat O'Neill's great happiness, PBR is a buck a draft during those time periods. So come on down to the Antlers and light it up with some Pabst Blue Ribbon. We've got Damon Witten with us tonight. I don't know if we've got anybody else joining us or not. I'll let him tell us that. But, hey, a tough weekend in a way because you end up with a split. But, hey, a victory in a game one at home. That's the first time we've won the first game of a weekend series this season. Big come from behind win 4-2, three unanswered goals in the third period on Saturday night to beat Alaska Anchorage. And then we got ahead yesterday, looked really good in the first period, and then they beat us 3-1. And I thought they played really well defensively in that second game.
Yeah, it's almost an opposite. You know, they maybe deserved to win Saturday a little bit more than we did. And I thought we definitely deserved to win Sunday more than they did. And that's the hockey gods kind of evening things out sometimes. But you know, as you mentioned, I thought Saturday we weren't ready to play. I was disappointed in you know, our preparation and our ability to start strong. You know, the good news is we had a great third period and responded well, and you know, the big power play goal by Diego to get us going. Mitch Holtz, I thought, was very, very good, two goals. You know, Gordy was good in net, so we had good goaltending like we have the past 2 or 3 months. So it was nice to get a win. And then after the game, we told the guys a little bit that sometimes, you know, good teams find ways to win hockey games, and we're becoming a good team, and that's good to see. And, you know, we found a way to get a win. So we like that. We like our third period. We like our response. And then almost the exact opposite on Sunday, we were phenomenal to start. We came out ready to play. I think they got their first shot on goal about 13 or 14 minutes into the first period. And I told the team as well today, like, we're going to face some other teams that you dominate zone time, you dominate the shot clock, but you can't let off the pedal for any second or have a big blunder that leads to offense or easy offense for that. And I thought we just had a couple of defensive miscues that led us an easy goal. I didn't think Nick Kossoff really had any chance on any of the goals, but a couple of defensive breakdowns that led to some goals for them, and that was the difference of the game. But, you know, and I think the other thing we talked about after the first period, you know, they went to their locker room and they were probably saying, hey, great road period. We weathered the storm. It's a tie game. It's a tight game, whatever it is. You know, and they felt fine with it. Whereas we pumped 14, 15 pucks on net. We had 4 or 5 really good grade A scoring chances. And we felt like, had we gotten that second goal, the way the game started, had we gone up 2-0, we felt like, you know, they didn't have enough fight back in them at that point in a long road trip, all those things. But we didn't. We let them hang around. And sure enough, that's what happened. So I didn't like the killer instinct and didn't like our finish on Sunday.
Yeah, again, it's young guys. And, you know, I kind of turn into a fan sometimes, and you get tough on them instead of being professional and letting them play it out. But, you know, there's 15 underclassmen in this lineup every game, and I keep thinking, you know, there is no way in the world that a guy like Mitch Holtz or a Diego Cuglietta or a lot of these guys, C.J. Hayes, I thought he flew around very effectively in both those games, looked really good. They're going to score. But right now, they're first-year guys. It's like the first year of junior hockey. You don't always do something there either. These are all proven players who scored in junior. There's no reason they're not going to score at this level too, but it may not happen this season.
Well, and they are scoring. I mean, they're our leading scorers. And if you look at the freshman scoring, I think we have 3 of the top 5, I believe. And, you know, I thought a lot about Tua, you know, and that's the same thing. We're not patient. Like, we want more offense today. You know, we're not trying to build a team that can't score. That's not how we're trying to play or structured to play, but it does take some time when you're counting on those young guys. And it's not really by design either. We want our upperclassmen to contribute more. And, you know, we had some guys that had some great looks. They got to bear down and finish. And, you know, we do need them to chip in and be contributors. I think all 9 of our game-winning goals this year are by freshmen.
They are.
I think every goal this weekend was by freshmen. And, you know, good for them. But we need our other guys to emerge. And part of that is on us coaches to put those guys in positions to find success, to help them get their confidence back up and going here a little bit. But for me, the big thing that stuck out, if you look at Corey Mackin, who leads WCHA in scoring, you know, there's the occasional Kyle Connor out there who's having, he's got 36 points at Michigan, and, you know, Dylan Larkin last year. Those are special elite talents that not a lot of people have the chance to have on their rosters. But Corey Mackin's down at Ferris State. He's leading WCHA in freshman. Well, he plays with Kyle Shemp, who's a draft pick and a junior, and the Thompson kid, who's a senior. So, you know, he's having success and having a very good year, but he's also got those older guys that he's around that can kind of, you know, help him through some tough times or show the way or carry the weight. And he's a complementary piece to them right now. You know, our guys are not the complementary pieces. They're our main pieces. So like you're saying, to expect Mitch and Gage and some of those guys to be go-to guys as freshmen. I know they're not true freshmen, things like that. Owen Hedrick's having a good year as a true freshman, but it just doesn't work that way. It's not, and we tell them that, like, you know, the load shouldn't be on them. You know, we you wish you could, just like talking about Nick Kossoff, you wish you could put them in some more spots to be successful, to help them gain more experience and get that college resume built up a little bit. But we're so young, we don't have the ability to do it. So we have a junior with those two guys. You know, so two freshmen with a junior, and then on, you know, Diego Nellis, two freshmen with the sophomore Hankey, who's a first year in our program. And then you have, you know, more freshmen with Nenadal Hayes, with Gus, another junior. So we've tried to kind of spread our experience around a little bit. We just don't have enough experience. We're so young. And then, you know, McKay, Schmidt, and Johnson were together this weekend as well. And they had a couple of great chances. You know, I know one of the guys in particular missed a goal. He came to us right after the game. You know, I do that every day in practice afterwards. And, you know, so the monkey on the back there a little bit. So they've got to get the monkey off the back, and we got to get a little bit more spread out scoring throughout there. But, yeah, you can't expect – you know, those guys to carry the weight as freshmen. It's just a difficult thing to do in college hockey.
Yeah, but to back up what you're saying too, our freshmen have 28 goals and 40 assists so far this season. That's a lot of points for a freshman class, and that is tied with Ferris State's junior class as a class in leading points in the WCHA. There's nobody else doing better. So really our freshmen are getting it done. I think your point on maybe some of the other guys like Gus and the senior line there with McKay and Schmidt and Johnson, those guys got to start getting something done offensively if we're going to win games, because we're averaging less than 2 goals a game. And I guess the point is we're going to play 2 really good teams the next 2 series we play, with an off weekend in between. We're going to go to Mankato this week. We're going to play at Michigan Tech in 3 weeks' time. Those are the top 2 teams in the league right now in the standings. And it's going to be difficult if you're averaging 1.75 goals a game and they're scoring 2.5 goals a game, which is about what it is. You're going to have to play perfect defense in order to get the points out of those 2 series.
Well, yeah, exactly. I mean, we're going to, and that, you know, that doesn't change for us because of those offensive challenges. That's been who we have been. And I don't know if we're still top 15 nationally in team defense and, you know, up there in the penalty kill. So that hasn't been an issue. We've been good that way. And we've been a little bit careful about juggling our lines because we've been so good defensively, and we like some of the matchups we can get. We don't have to worry about maybe just one line matching up against the Tatchell line this weekend, or going on the road to Mankato. We feel like we've got 2 lines who defensively can do a good job against the other team's top line. So, but, you know, we do need to look at ways to generate more and do a better job. That's obviously, if we could increase our, you know, I think I was looking too, if we had 7 more goals, we'd catch the next lowest team in our league. And can you imagine what 7 goals would do for our record? We've been in so many 1-goal games and tie games. If we just had 7 more goals, it'd be 2 or 3 more wins and 1 or 2 more ties. It'd be tremendous for us. So it's a challenge. And, you know, those of you who are there watching, we're working every day. We've Doug and Rich have done a great job too. We're doing skill sessions now. They're optional skill sessions for our guys, and they'll come out in just sweatpants, and it's stick handling, it's puck movement, touches around the net. So, you know, we hope that'll pay some dividends as well. But obviously, you know, we were challenged last year. You're not going to, in 1 year, one recruiting cycle, go from you know, one of the lowest offensive teams in the country to one of the top 15s. But that's the plan. You know, we do want to get up and do a top 15, top 20 team offense. And you know, we feel like there is a chance to do that as we move forward here.
Yeah, we've had 4 straight home games here to start the second half of the season. We go 2-2 in those. We pick up 4 points. We got more points right now this season than we had all of last season. We've won more games this season than we did all of last season. And we've still got a dozen games to go here in league play. Some of them are tough, yeah, but there are some there that we can probably pick up some good points into. The goal is to finish in the top 4. That'll be difficult, but we're only 3 points right now behind 4th place Ferris State, 2 points back of 5th place Northern, and 1 point behind Bemidji State, and we've got games in hand on all three of them, at least two games. So we're in pretty good shape.
We are. We put ourselves in a position to finish strong. As you mentioned, these next two road weekends with the bye week in between are tough, tough challenges, you know, and we've been good on the road. So we've got to find a way to get points on the road. For us, you know, I don't sleep at night because I look at some missed opportunities with, you know, the way we played this Sunday, the Huntsville weekend. You give us one or two or those, you know, the Huntsville win, if we hang on and hold that late lead, two more points. And then, like you said, we're sitting right there in fifth or sixth place and a chance with the games in hand to securely jump into the top four. So, those keep you up at night for sure, you know, those missed opportunities. But, we positioned ourselves well. We've improved tremendously throughout the year, and we still got to continue to improve.
Yeah, it's a team led by freshmen and young people, 15, as we say, underclassmen in the lineup every game. Lack of scoring's been a problem. We talk about that every week in here, and it kind of haunted us yesterday a bit, I thought. But, that was a tough game because it started so well. They looked so good out of the gate. I think the shots were 12-1 at one point in that first period. It wound up being 14-6 overall. But they come back, they get a goal, they tie it, and as you say, that gives them a springboard to play really well into the second period. And took a few penalties in there too, didn't help, but the game was still in hand. It was 2-1 with 3 minutes left in the game, and Gage Terrell got robbed. And that's where you got to give Olivier Mantha a lot of credit. I thought he was really good all weekend. You might fault him on the Nenendahl goal on Saturday night, maybe from long range. But other than that, he made some big, big saves.
Well, on Sunday, you know, we talked about Gordy in the third period on Saturday night. He made the huge power play on our penalty kill, their rush play. They moved it laterally. He slid across, made a huge save to keep it a one-goal game. But that was Mantha on Terrell. I mean, I thought it was a tremendous play on the power play. Mitch Holtz was able to slide it all the way across. I'm not even sure how Mantha tracked it, but he was there and made just a huge save. And that was big. That was the turning point, or to keep that lead for them. You know, I really disappointed our power play this week, and I thought our power play struggled. We got the late goal. Diego's on Saturday after we really just totally changed our lineups in the 5 minute major. In between the second and third, we adjusted all of our power plays because it just been so stagnant, and we've got to find a way to get some life back into that. And you know, we'll look at that, and there'll be some changes there with personnel and structure to that. But I thought that was disappointing. You know, our penalty kill, actually probably Saturday night, was the worst effort in a while. We gave up way too much on the penalty kill, and Doug had a good session with his guys just to tighten some areas up. We didn't really adjust what we do. We just had to get back to our parameters and play tighter with what we do. And I thought the guys responded, did a much better job on Sunday night on our penalty kill. And then the power play against special teams are so important. And we didn't win. We didn't lose the special teams battle, but we didn't win the special teams battle. And that's the difference in the game.
Yeah, power play got tweaked last week, and you worked on it in practice every day. And I thought it was going to be really good because I kind of liked having Corey Alley and Terrell at the top of that one power play and putting Hanky in there, who can pass the puck pretty well. I thought that was going to have some success, and they really did struggle. But maybe it's because they haven't been together. It's all new.
Yeah, you know, and it's a fine line as a coach. Do you want to give them time and get more continuity, or, you know, you want some immediate results? And at least if you see some action and some good plays, you can kind of give them some time. But we didn't really see much of that. I think when Owen Hedrick went out and missed the tournament out there, that set us back, because that group had such good continuity and gotten to know each other pretty well. And Owen's still working his way back to 100% health. And then I thought Draplik went in, and we didn't put him on the power play or penalty kill much Sunday, just because his first game back in so long. We wanted to be careful with his minutes. And by the end of the game, he was back on the power play, and I thought he was really good there. So he'll get some work on the power play this week, and hopefully he can kind of settle down our touches up top. You know, part of it is just good puck movement, having tape-to-tape passes, putting him in a wheelhouse and flat passes. We've had a couple of guys that have really struggled up top to handle the pucks well and keep a flat pass going around.
Yeah, and I think the opposition is looking at a lot of film on Lake Superior. They really attack. Everybody's doing it now. Bowling Green was pretty effective attacking us at the top. Now everybody's coming out there.
Yeah, most teams are pressure teams. You know, we went up to Fairbanks. They were a passive team, and we had a phenomenal weekend on the power play. But the majority of teams on the NHL sheet show some type of pressure. We've done a little bit of the Mankato-Michigan Tech series, and they'll be pretty heavy pressure. And as you said, as they pre-scout us, I'm sure they'll want to pressure it. So, again, we've got to make some adjustments, and, even just simple passes. Like, they've got to be better. They've got to be tape-to-tape. They've got to be flat, so that next pass, they can't pressure off of the read off it, but we can give two or three good passes in a row. Now you have a chance to get a puck to the net and outnumber guys.
All right, players of the week this week in the WCHA just named late this afternoon. Two of them from Michigan Tech, and you could maybe comment on those two guys. You know them pretty well. Alex Batan's the offensive player of the week. He had three goals in the win and tie against Minnesota State. Jamie Phillips, defensive player of the week for the second week in a row for his performance and goal for Michigan Tech. And Darren Smith, the freshman goaltender for Ferris State, rookie of the week for his performance in a win on Saturday in game two of that series that they played there at Ferris State. So, you know, there's your players of the week, and a couple of them are guys you're pretty familiar with.
Well, yeah, Alex Patan is senior. I mean, there you go. He's having a great year. Once again, I think he leads the WCHA in scoring now and over 100 career points. I mean, you know, and I think that's where some of our guys will get to. We talked about that a few weeks ago, is how do you compare? But he's a great player. We'll see him in a couple of weeks. He had a big goal against us as well, and he's on fire right now. So he'll be a tough matchup. And then Jamie Phillips is, you know, a really – interesting look. You know, both those kids that was involved recruiting those guys, and Jamie didn't play much at all until his junior year. Phoenix Copley and Jamie Phillips were freshmen together with us, I think, in our second year, maybe first chance of bringing some goaltenders, and they came in the same year. Phoenix started about 80 or 90% of the games, and then he signed with the Capitals after his sophomore year, so Jamie finally got his chance to play some games, and, you know, he's been great for them in front of a good team. They got a good decor with mobility, defend well, so they make his job in life a little bit easier, but he's a really good goaltender, and you know what, though, I think, again, he didn't play much for us his freshman, sophomore year, but Phoenix really did. He signed, and I told a couple NHL guys who have asked about our guys, these guys are ahead of where those guys were as freshmen in terms of not letting in the easy goals. You know, Phoenix was 6'3", so we had that big NHL body, but, you know, obviously we're very good in the net, and I like the way our guys stack up in the WCHA and nationally.
All right, we're going to take a break, our first of the night on the Laker Hockey Show. Stay with us here on ESPN 1400. All righty, we're finally back at the Antlers. Boy, it's a long stop set right there, but we're back here for the Laker Hockey Show on a Monday night. Bill Crawford along with Damon Whitten, the head coach of the Lakers. We've got a number of questions from our fans who are with us here tonight. We've got a good crowd as usual. And I want to hit a couple other things. I want to remind, here's a program reminder for you, the Hockey North program with Randy Russin tomorrow at 5 p.m. right here on this station. Randy talks a lot of Lakers as well. And we've got the Laker Hockey Talk program coming your way at 8:30 this Wednesday morning right here on ESPN 1400. Damon and I will be there for that one. Overall this season, and this is why I kind of got to throw a line at you here, why do you want to have the top four finish for this team and play at home in the playoffs? At home this season, you're 4-8-1. On the road, you're 4-3-3. And on neutral ice, you're 1-2 this season. This, you know, we talk about this a lot. This team plays very well on the road. 4-3-3 is darn good in this league.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's an interesting point because, you know, we haven't taken advantage of home ice as much as we need to. But, you know, it's still so important for matchups, you know, for line changes, yeah, for having more access to your whole team to dress bodies. You know, we haven't done as much as that lately, but fresh legs, if you go to that third game, for sure, you can insert fresh bodies and
right,
you can't. So, you know, it's a big goal. I mean, to finish in that top four is a big part of it. But you're right, you know, looking at a record, you might not say you want to do that. But, you know, we can be better at home. We need to be better. And, you know, hopefully we can continue to grow and be a little bit better. You know, we had some issues with our pregame routine on Saturday that we addressed and cleaned up. And, again, Sunday we came out at a tremendous first 14, 15 minutes and really beyond a turnover or two, even didn't give them a whole lot after that. So, you know, we'll continue to right that ship.
Okay, we've got questions from our fans here tonight. I love this first question. We kind of talked about it a moment ago, but I like putting coaches on the spot. How do you plan to get more goals on the power play?
Well, it's pretty simple, right? You shoot the puck and you get traffic there. I mean, if you know, maybe we need all the fans yelling, shoot more. I know everybody likes to sit up there and say, shoot, shoot, shoot. But, yeah, and everybody's nodding in the audience for sure. But, you know, it is. I mean, it really is simple. Now, in the defense of some of the players, you know, Saturday night, I think it was, because of some of our personnel and whatever, just the way we like guys, we have Gage Terrell is up top kind of running a unit. You've got a freshman forward up top trying to, you know, protect pucks and read pressure and read plays. And everybody in the stands and on the bench, we all think it's so easy to shoot the puck. But again, you know, it's not a guy who's played 100 college games or even 50 college games. And it's a forward, not a D. And maybe we're really bad coaches. We don't have the right guys out there. We've obviously tinkered and went through some different combinations. You know, it is. It gets to be that simple. You know, you got to have better puck touches. I think one other thing we had, Ned does a lot of our stats, obviously, and he had 7 power play turnovers marked. way too easy. I mean, we try to make these cute saucer passes and on our back end, and we try to tell the guys it's not soft skill, it's hard skill that we need to be successful. It's pounding pucks to the net, it's outnumbering them down there and whacking away. So it's a simple thing, but we've got to do a better job in instilling them what we're looking to do on it.
Yeah, you look at a guy, and you talked a little bit earlier about Alex Patan and who he had to play with when he was a freshman and why he had success immediately because he was playing with and the kid at Mackin down at Ferris State, why he's having success in his first year. To me, Al Globke's that guy with the Lakers. He had Colin Campbell with him and Danny Radke his first year, and he lit it up, and everybody thought, who the heck is this guy? He had a lot of goals, a lot of points, looked really good. Al Globke on Sunday had 5 shots on goal. That's pretty good, and he's a guy to me that has to be, and he's playing that way. I'm not finding any fault with him. I think he's playing the best he can. He's taking the puck to the net. He's the hard guy. He's the guy who plays it hard all the time.
Yeah, he's been playing extremely well, but he's one of those guys that's a little bit snake bitten, or, you know, monkey in the back, whatever you want to say. And, he's, you know, it gets frustrating, and it kind of builds and builds until you get the one. It might be off your butt or off your head. You need to find a way to get one in. And we had a great example of it. If you guys remember the power play goal or the power play there, I think Mitch shot it, went up over the goaltender, kind of rolled down his back. It was sitting on the goal line, not open, and Al was at an easy poke in, and the ref lost sight, blew the whistle. And so, that might have been the one that got Al going a little bit. But he's played hard. He's going to the area. He's a guy that we would like to finish a little bit more. I give him a lot of credit. As you mentioned, he's one of in the last 10 games, he's been one of the guys that has generated the most great A's, and his rating is very good. But he's got to find a way to finish on some of those. And part of that's puck luck, part of that's habits. And hopefully we can get him going for a great finish.
Okay, we got a question here that comes from the game on Saturday night. I was asked about this after the game. I didn't notice it. I don't really look at what's going on sometimes out there on the ice when the game was over. What were the coaches so upset about? One of our coaches and a couple of their guys were yapping back and forth at each other. The fans thought there was going to be a little problem there. But what was that all about? I didn't even see it. I don't know.
I like our chances if that happens. So the guys behind me are pretty good there. So, no, you know what? I thought just Matt was trying to work the refs. He was upset about the 5-minute major call. Some of the fans brought it up here tonight. You know, when C.J. Hayes got drilled from behind, you know, and I don't know, maybe we're bad coaches. You know, if you look around, and we were frustrated. I mean, we got clips we'll send into the league and just say, you know, we've either got to change the way we coach and teach our guys to dive and to go down and stay down because everybody seems to be doing it. You know, we don't like it, though. C.J. Hayes jumps right up. You know, he didn't sell it, didn't embellish it. And I give the refs a lot of credit. You know, I thought it was a good call. You know, maybe they don't go 5 minutes, but they didn't let a dive dictate whether it was a 2 minutes or 5 minutes. So I give him a lot of credit. But Matt didn't like it. So I thought he was just trying to work the refs a little bit. So I just said, hey, you know, if your guys stay on their feet and don't dive all night, then you won't have to worry about it. And he didn't like it. He came back at me a little bit. But, you know, I stand by it. You know, there's too much of it. It's tough. It puts the refs in a really hard spot. Like I said, we're bad. If at some point we don't start telling our guys to dive and go down, then we're giving our team a disadvantage. But we want to play the game the right way. We want to play hard. We want to play on our feet. I don't like it, but, you know, we're getting bit night after night. And so we've got to do a better job adjusting and not putting our stick somewhere to allow a guy to dive. But, you know, it'd be nice if a ref would call one early and set a standard that they're not going to allow it to happen.
Yeah, that was another question here from the fans tonight about the embellishment on some of the plays that they thought Alaska. So did I. Talked about that during the game, especially yesterday. I thought Mantha really sold one hard on Nellis on that play. That reminded me of Darren Madeley back in the old days. He'd act like somebody killed him a few times trying to get a penalty. And it's exactly what Mantha did, and he got the penalty call. There were a couple of others, too. There was McTavish on Saturday went down, and he was favoring one arm when he was on the ice and favoring the other one when he left the ice, and that got us a penalty as well. They did that quite often.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, it's frustrating, and, you know, we're either going to have to do it to get the calls, and certainly we can be more disciplined. We can't put our sticks in some of those areas, but the one on Nenendahl, kind of at our offensive blue line on our bench side, I mean, I'm not even sure he touched the guy, and he went down, and you mentioned the Bryce Schmidt one where the guy, man, I'm not even sure Schmidt got a hand, but he's holding one hand, then he switches hands, and, you know, it's frustrating, but we've got to be a more disciplined team, and we can't put ourselves in situations for the refs to call it. But, you know, I think it's something we have to address as a league as well. And, you know, if it's going to go that way, it's going to be, you know, really ugly hockey. We're going to turn into soccer players out there, and I don't think anybody wants to see that.
Well, it was a tough weekend for Bryce too. You know, he's managed to fight his way back into the lineup. He's playing with McKay and Johnson, a couple guys he knows and likes, and he had some chances, you know, but he every time it seems that he shoots it, it'll hit a leg. He gets more shots blocked than anybody on our team, and he took three penalties in those two games, and I think he earned maybe one of them.
Yeah, exactly. That's the hard part. You know, it's tough. You know, you get on a guy about discipline and not taking those, and then you look at him, and it's, you know, there's not a whole lot there. So it's tough. But again, we can't put ourselves in situations. I thought, you know, we put that line out on the 5-minute major power play. You know, it's nice to have three groups so you can kind of get a better breather for some of your groups. And they went out and did a great job. And Austin McKay made a tremendous pass back door to Bryce. And he's the one that talked about it. He's like, coach, you know, I hit that every day in practice. And it's tough when it comes to traffic. You're not prepared or the speed's a little different. It gets a little deflected. But, you know, the chances are there for those guys. They need one to go in, whether it's off a back or they put it in with their teeth. They've got to get one in there to get some life and confidence going. Bryce Schmidt made a tremendous pass to Austin McKay, if everybody remembers, in the second period. Mm-hmm. And Macker put a great shot on net, and Mantha made a huge save and was going low blocker. I thought live in the game that Austin maybe put it kind of into his belly, but he got it low blocker, and then you know, maybe a quarter of an inch higher it goes in. So they're generating some chances. I've liked that line. They're playing better and with some confidence, and now they've got to get one and get it going to have a real strong finish for us.
Yeah, we talked about him earlier, but I thought Mitch Holtz was really good all weekend. He was our nominee for Rookie of the Week. He had two goals in the game on a Saturday night. He had an assist on the Gage Terrell goal that never happened yesterday. That was a great play he made there, too. He's getting better every game. The big thing that Mitch did on the weekend is he won a lot of faceoffs. I think he had 31 faceoff wins in those two games.
Yeah, he's tremendous in the draw. And I thought Saturday was, you know, maybe his best game of the year. And, you know, he's a guy we're on that we want him shooting the puck more. He had six shots on Saturday, two goals, and he's got a tremendous shot and a great release. You know, but he also has a tendency to want to slow things down and overhandle it or make that perfect play. A lot of our young guys, you know, they want to get too tight. They want to wait and wait and wait. And at this level, things close down. So they've got to shoot the puck earlier and from out higher. They get too tight and the goalie gets the advantage there. But I thought Mitch was tremendous Saturday. And, you know, when he plays fast, he's so big and strong. He's hard to knock off the puck. And so I thought it was a really strong game. And, you know, faceoffs, Eddie Bishop put a couple things together there. So Mitch has the most faceoff wins in the WCHA for freshmen at 213. Diego second at 200. Then the next freshman is Michigan Tech's Jake Lucchini at 139. So, you know, that's another area to look at. Well, why can't we do more? Why can't we do more? There's not a lot of teams that are playing three freshman centers, and, you know, you expect them to go win draws, whatever. So for our top two guys, you know, Mitch has over 100 more wins than the third place WCHA freshman. But, you know, most teams, when you're built, if you look at a Stanley Cup contender or, you know, an NCAA champion, you usually have two or three big, strong junior seniors anchoring your centers and your faceoffs and down the middle. And right now we've got three freshmen down the middle along with Austin McKay as our fourth center.
Yeah, another good stat Eddie dug out today that Pat O'Neill also had for me when I saw him today. We are second in the league in power play goals. We're tied there with 17 with Michigan Tech behind Bemidji State, which has 20. Here we are. We're harping about why isn't our power play scoring? We had 17 power play goals. That's the second most in our league.
Yeah, you know, so there's been good. You know, we've gotten a lot. You know, and if you look nationally, I think WCHA the top three teams nationally in terms of power play opportunities are all WCHA. And I don't want more penalty call. I think there's too many penalties as it is, but there's something going on within our league that I think we need to address. You know, we already have the most penalized teams, but I still think there's a ton of stick work and above the hands. And so I think, you know, and offense is down around our league. I think it's part of it. We allow way too much stick work, even though we're already heavily penalized. So, but we have scored. There are some really good things. You know, if Gage gets that goal and gets it by, you know, it's a big weekend. We get two big power play goals, but Mantha makes a save. So, you know, there's a lot of positives. We're better in all aspects, but we still got to get over the hump and do more offensively.
Yeah, a good example of that stick work, too. Let's ask Gus Coriale about it. I think he had his stick knocked out of his hands at least three times this weekend. And, you know, he was flying around pretty good there, and they knew it, so they just knocked his stick out of his hands. That's slashing, no matter how you call it. We talked about that during the game, and they don't call it. So. Yeah.
And I'm not saying we're innocent. I know, you know, we will do the same thing to protect your goal. And you know, we even tell our team, you know, you can take a penalty to save a goal. So you see some of that at times. But there's been multiple clips. I'm kind of putting together a little assembly and not to pick on our refs or to do anything, but let's talk as a league. But you get anywhere around the net, in the last couple of weeks, we've got at least four clips where a guy literally has a baseball windup the stick straight up in the air and comes down over your hands if you're anywhere near that. Like that's not right. Like that's no matter where you're at on the ice, that's a penalty. But we let it go, and you know it's so hard to generate offense. And as a league, we're going to allow that to happen. We're never going to continue to get better offensively and open things up a little bit, which I think most fans enjoy. Most people like some goals and offense. So I think we need to address some things as a league and how we're going to open it up and protect scoring chances.
I think another thing, too, on the defensive end of things, more teams are solid defensively. It's kind of like the NHL. The goaltending's really good, and that's got a lot to do with it, too. We saw that on Sunday afternoon. The game could have been 2-2. Instead, it ends up being 3-1 because Gage Terrell gets stopped by Mantha. They go down and score a goal that I think went in off James Roll's skate into the net past Kasov, and it's just one of those things. We're going to take our second break tonight. We're way behind here on that end of things. We'll be right back with more of the Laker Hockey Show on ESPN 1400. Okay, we're back at the Laker Hockey Show on a cold Monday evening in Sault Ste. Marie. Bill Crawford along with the head coach of the Lakers, Damon Whitten, and Mankato is next on the agenda. A long trip. I'm thinking a sleeper bus for the boys, leaving probably Wednesday night, and the games on Friday and Saturday, and those are central time, too, so they'll start at about 8 o'clock our time here in Sault Ste. Marie.
Well, you hit it in the travel plans. I think the staff's going to have a hard time. You know, we're talking about leaving about 11:30, 11:45 p.m. I'll be, you know, in bed for an hour or two, so I have to set an alarm to make sure I don't miss it. I think for the players, it's not as difficult. That's about their normal time. So, yeah, if you leave much earlier than that, then you get in to the new city about 8 a.m., and then you can't check into your hotel. You're kind of sitting on a bus doing nothing. So we don't want to leave too early, and that way we'll get there, you know, get a bite to eat, unload our equipment. Hopefully at that point the hotel can get us checked in, and then we go about our Thursday afternoon and routine there. So, but it does work well. I think the guys, especially, again, the staff, maybe not as much, but the players get pretty good sleep, especially for the upperclassmen who get the choice of bunks and sleep in the right air. They've got it all figured out. But and actually some of the freshmen, too, they end up on the floor, and there's, like, I think two guys on the floor, and that might be the best spot unless you get stepped on in the middle of the night. So it works pretty well, and we'll do that. We'll get out there. Then Thursday afternoon or evening, we'll have a skate out there. It's always a little rush on the road because you only get about 50 minutes, so you got to make sure you're just organized and ready to roll with a good practice coming off the bus. We'll try to get a lot of pace to that, a lot of touches. Try to get a little bit of compete in it to it as well, so we're ready for that puck drop on Friday. Skate again Friday morning, and then it's go time.
Yeah, there's some big-time names on this Minnesota State roster, too. Teddy Bluger, very good player. He's got 18 points on the season. They got some guys underachieving right now, in my opinion, too, though. Bryce Gervais is not scoring like he did. Neither is C.J. Franklin, but these guys are really good hockey players. They got Zach Steppen on this team still, and they're strong. Their goaltending as a team is not as good as Lake Superior State's. Their save percentage as a team is .897, ours is .923. That kind of bodes well for us there. But their one goaltender, Pulaski, is very good. .908 is his save percentage. His goals against is just 1.72. So, and I get some big name players, and we've never had any luck there. We lost two playoff games, two other games last year there. We're 0-8-0 all time against Minnesota State.
Well, it's time that changes, you know. I mean, it's a tough matchup, you know, but we need to flip that for sure and change that. I, you know, you mentioned the goaltending there, and that's if you can get to them. You know, their decor, I think they've done a very good job of building that decor. They have very good size to it, but they skate well. So they make it very hard. They defend hard with gap and space. And so it'll be a challenge just to get there. And then with our offensive challenges, you know, we really got to take advantage when we can get to them. But yeah, I like their team. And I think they're built a little bit different this year. Bill, you mentioned, you know, maybe some disappointing seasons. Gervais coming off a 35 or 40 point year.
Yeah.
But they had some big losses and some high end offensive talent. They struggled early on with those losses, but after a tough start, they've been very good. And it's from a defensive structure and standpoint because they lost some of that high-end offense. And as you mentioned, Gervais is not quite the same this year. So they don't overpower you offensively like they were able to last year as much, but they're very, very good defensively, and they're really tough to generate offense on them.
You know, we may, looking back at this past series, too, we talk about we're a little disappointed with what happened on the power play or this or that or the other thing. One of the things that your team did very well this week is hold Blake Tashel down to just about nothing. I think he had one assist in the two games, and that came on the third goal yesterday. So, you know, when you count, you center in on somebody, our guys were paying attention because we didn't give him much at all.
Well, you know, and I think overall, even going to the Bowling Green series and, you know, Brown, when Lappin had the 6-point night the night before we played him, and yeah. We're all sitting there, how the heck are we going to contend with that? And again, the way we do it is with, you know, at least, you know, multiple young guys in on that matchup. So it's not, you're never overly comfortable when you're going in and facing an elite player and a senior, and you're going to say, well, which two freshmen are going to go against them? And it leaves you uneasy, but they've done a very good job. And so, you know, for the most part, we've used the Nenendahl line or the Holtz line against the other team's opposing lines and with pretty good success. So our guys have done a good job being aware, and it starts with puck management, you know, from everybody. But you got to be aware of who's on the ice. You know, we'll see that, as you mentioned, with Bluger and Gervais, certainly when you get with Patan and Gould and those guys down in over in Houghton in a few weeks as well. So there's got to be good awareness on there, and then you've got to really take care of pucks. That'll be huge this weekend. If we get in a foot race up and down the ice with Mankato, they can make you pay that way. So we've got to be really good with our puck management.
Yeah, and you got to be sound defensively all over the ice too, because they average better than 2 goals a game, which is low for them. Usually they're over 3 goals a game, and so 2.2 is not all that much more than Lake Superior's 1.75 or whatever it is. But obviously, if we're not going to score goals, we can't let them have 3-4 goals, or it's going to be awfully tough.
Yeah, we're not going to go win a lot of 5-4 shootouts or 6-4 shootouts or things like that. So, you know, we'll expect that strong defensive game, the good structure with all 5 men, and then we obviously have the goaltending that can get the job done as well. But, you know, for us, it's got to be low scoring right now. It felt really good to get 4 on Saturday. I mean, for us, that was a bit of an outburst, and it takes some pressure off. I thought when Owen Edrick got the early goal on Sunday, I felt like maybe, you know, here's a night where some pucks might go in for us, but obviously that didn't continue throughout the night.
You know, we talked earlier too, and you were talking about why you want home ice, top 4 in the playoffs. You got last change that way. You've got unlimited players you can call on if you need them. That'll be one of the tough things these next two series that we play. We go to Minnesota State this weekend, Michigan Tech in 3 weeks' time. You can only take 2 extra players with you there. That'll be a tough decision, because you'd like to be real mobile against these teams, so you want to look maybe at some guys who can really skate. On the other hand, you can only take 2 extra guys. You probably take a forward, probably take 1 extra D. It's going to be tough.
Yeah, that's typically, you know, how you do it. One, in case of an injury, that you got some insurance on both ends of it. And like you said, you know, the skating ability of these two teams is very good. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe the best in the league, and there's a reason why they're up there. So we do, that will play a part of the equation of the mobility part of it. Who can skate and match up with these top teams, you know? And I think the other kind of beauty thing is, I'm not sure if everybody's making the trip over, but Michigan Tech, we're going into Winter Carnival, and their record there is just ridiculous during Winter Carnival, and it's just a hornet's nest. So it'll be an awesome environment in a few weeks down the road there, and, you know, an exciting trip over. And, you know, we've got to find a way to do something and break up their carnival as well.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens. Let's update a little thing here. We usually talk about recruiting and injuries. I know Zach Lesh is our one injury right now. Looks like he's out for the season at this point in his senior year. He had surgery last week. But update us all the way around. We've got Pete Spratty and Drap Luck there too.
Yeah, well, Zach, like, as you mentioned, he's back in town after undergoing surgery back home. So it's good to have him back. And he provides, you know, some nice veteran leadership, and, you know, he's around every day as much as he can be, but certainly in a different role now. But everybody else is fully back. You know, it makes practice a little bit tougher. You know, when we were banged up, our numbers were a little bit better. Now we've got one or two too many bodies, so we've got to get a little bit creative in how we structure some drills, so guys aren't sitting around too long and things like that. And, you know, at some point somebody's going to be, but everybody's healthy, full decisions to go. You know, I thought Draplick did a good job for his first game in months. You know, I really thought he provided a little spark and some energy. You know, his compete level is very good. So I'm looking forward to him getting back to full game speed. And, you know, obviously it's a very competitive situation back there. Spratty's back fully healthy as well. So the competition for a spot in the lineup in the back end is going to be very fierce these next few weeks.
Okay, we're going to take our last break on the show tonight. We'll be back with the last segment of the Laker Hockey Show from the Antlers right after this on ESPN 1400. Okay, we got about 9 minutes left in the show tonight. It doesn't take long for this show to fly by. Bill Crawford along with Damon Whitten, the head coach of the Lakers, and big weekend coming up because we're going to Minnesota State. Never won there. That should be a good challenge for our guys right there. I was looking this afternoon, too. Pat came up with some good stats here for us for tonight's show. This season so far, we have scored 11 goals in the first period, all games considered here, conference and non-conference, 24 goals in the second period. That leads the WCHA in second period goal scoring, and 14 counting those three on Saturday night in the third period. So obviously second period seems to be our period. I wouldn't have thought that going in, but the stats bear it out.
Yeah, I don't know. It's an interesting, you know, how you, what you do with that exactly. And obviously they're all too low. I'd like to have 30 in each period and I'd feel a lot better about it. But, you know, yeah, I'm not sure what all you can read into it. I know there's another stat there by Eddie in terms of, I think we lead the league in goals scored either in the first minute or the last 2 minutes of a game, which is a big point of emphasis for us. We want to be plus or even in goals in the first or last minute. Those are huge momentum shifting goals, and we got that on Saturday night there. Mitch came out, I think it was Mitch, with 43 seconds in the second period. Actually, I can't remember who got it, but we got an early goal there in the second period, and all of a sudden the momentum, it was Mitch's life, and you get some energy there, whether it's late or early, and it really, if you go into the intermission with a late goal, you have all kinds of energy and life. So we do emphasize that quite a bit, but I'm not sure why the disparity in the second period in terms of line changes, things like that. You know, that's good, but we got to pick up the first and third.
Yeah, you're farthest from your bench then. It's usually a tough period for a team, especially defensively, but we score a lot of goals in the second period. Doesn't matter where we are. But another question for you here concerns the Sunday game, the 5 p.m. start on a Sunday. What did you think of that?
Well, you know, we're talking off the air. Our team played well. Like, you know, we came out, had a great jump, and it felt weird all week. You know, we gave the guys Tuesday off because we didn't want to skate too many days to try to kind of get back into a normal week schedule. For coaches, it felt like a long, long week. We were waiting and waiting and waiting. And Friday night, you know, at every game on WCHA TV, you're checking junior scores, you're watching on TV, and there's a lot of good college games on TV that night. So it was just so weird to be off on a Friday night when we were still waiting to play this weekend. So for us, it felt like a disrupted and a strange schedule for the week. I'm not sure if the players felt it as much. You know, and then Sunday, like I said, the team played well, but it definitely had a different feel to it. You mentioned you came to the rink, it was still light out. And, you know, just a different vibe, you know, crowd-wise, obviously a little bit of a different, and I'm not sure, you know, if everybody knew about it or not, but, you know, so it was fine. You know, it didn't affect our play and our preparation. Obviously, you don't like the result, but, you know, we outplayed the team pretty well and just didn't get the win. So I thought our team responded well, even though we were off a little bit kilter from our normal weekly schedule.
Yeah, we had a lot of trouble yesterday getting through all the traffic. I think that's a tribute to their defensive game plan. They get in the way a lot. They like to embellish, so they draw some penalties. They drew a big one with about 5 minutes left in regulation. It kind of took away any momentum we might have had at that point yesterday. But we did control shots. We outshot them 35-22. That's a wide margin in the game to lose 3-1. We had face-off victories all weekend. We dominated the face-off circle on them other than one period, and that was on Saturday. Statistically, we did a good job. We were up in every area. The only one that we came up short on was trying to get the sweep. Been a long time since the Lakers have swept anybody. It's been at least two seasons since we've had a sweep, but we had a good chance there. We had a crack at it, and we fall short 3-1 yesterday.
Well, I didn't realize that stat, and that's way too long. I mean, it's not acceptable. And again, I think we're working towards that. As you said, you know, we found a way to win a game Saturday, and then Sunday, statistically, you do a good job, but you don't get the result. So, you know, we'll get there. We like the pieces, and we like where we're headed, and, you know, just like this weekend's a big challenge with that all-time record against Mankato. You know, I think we have a team capable of breaking that finally, and, you know, we're excited to go down there and match up against them.
Anything new on the recruiting front this time of year? You keep seeing all these things, and we can't mention names or anything of people who may have committed, and it's amazing how many schools are after these young kids now and committing 16, 17-year-olds for the future. We've had that happen for us this season, which is fairly new, maybe the last 2 years, this sort of thing's going on. But anything new on the front there?
Not a ton. I mean, again, with where we're at, you know, we're pretty well stocked out. Doug Gahala was here somewhere, and he just, as we came in, he said he got a text from an advisor who was out watching a game there, and one of our young guys playing said he was just outstanding. So it's always nice. You hear different feedback. You don't always get that. Sometimes you get the other ones and you get really worried and you don't sleep for a night or two. But so, you know, we're just making the rounds with guys. My old assistant coach here at Tech, Billy McCall, called this afternoon. We had a good conversation. He's the head coach in Tri-City in the USHL now, and he called on a couple of his guys. Rich Mitra will hit the road this weekend. He'll spend some time in the Midwest. There's some some midget showcase stuff going on out there, and then he'll catch some probably some USHL games as well. And then the bye week, Doug and I will head out and make up some ground too. And so there's a lot that way. Again, it's still young guys. We're working on trying to finalize a visit for a goaltender to replace Gordy 2 years out. But beyond that, I think anything for more in the next year or so would be because of a late departure with somebody, or maybe a decommitment type thing like that. So we like where we're at. We like on paper, and we're projected out pretty well the next 2 or 3 years. And if we can find somebody who is a significant upgrade to our program, then you try to find a way to make that work. Otherwise, we feel really good about where we're at, where our guys are performing.
Yeah, Gordy's last year of eligibility would be next year, so obviously some planning going into that. We did have a question from a fan here tonight too about the future with the goaltending. Are we working on that end of things? You just answered that for the most part. Nick Kossoff will be around for another 3 years if we have our way, or he may turn pro or something, and one of the NHL teams take him away. But there's not much we can do about that except kind of have something in the back of your mind for the future.
Yeah, you plan and you plan, And again, can't comment on names, but a lot of people who follow the old NA Sioux Eagles team, there was a big commitment today for a guy with ties to our school. And so you're involved in a lot of different things, and your recruiting is always moving and going around. And, so we were involved with the guy, and because I think partly because of the time frame. Whether he wanted to go back and play 2 years at junior or go into a school next year, something developed today that way. But we're excited for him. He's a good kid, but that's just part of it. You're always kind of looking and evaluating what's going on. But yeah, we're very active that way, and Doug and Rich do a tremendous job. And we're sitting up here. I got two calls from junior coaches coming in as we're on the radio. So we got lots of work to do. You're always working hard and building your list and trying to, stay on top of what's going on out there. Again, a lot of the big things today is the decommitments. Everybody's got these big lists, and for Rich to go watch a USHL game this weekend, there's really not much to watch. There's maybe one or two young kids uncommitted, but the first thing you do these days is ask, well, who's not going in now, or who's getting pushed back, or who's decommitting? There's so much of it right now. It's an issue in college hockey. But you have to stay on top of it. So if something does happen, you want a chance to be involved that way.
Yeah, a lot of talk about the young guy from Michigan Tech, Boeing, who left their program. And, you see stuff on the internet about that too, that he left there because he didn't like the remote area that Houghton is. And you can understand that kind of stuff if that's why he left. We don't know. You had a hand in recruiting him, I would think. What kind of kid is he?
I don't know how much I can say.
Well, you can't really talk about him that you want him to come here, but
sure.
Is that a problem for these kids that they go somewhere and then they decide, hey, this is not where I want to be?
Well, I think for most kids, it's more about playing time and opportunity. And, he's a guy going back to Shattuck. He'd spent a lot of time getting to know Brett. And, if you look at where he stands, he had a good year. He was, I think, sixth or eighth maybe in WCHA scoring, hadn't played a lot of games. And, he was. Brett called shortly before he went out, was moving up there, and he said, both assistants. I was his main recruiter, and then I was gone, and then Billy McCall took a job, and he was having second thoughts going into it because his relationships, a lot of times, is not with the head coach, it's with the assistant coaches. They're out there, they're doing a call every 2 weeks, and then what I try to do is every 3 or 4 or 5 weeks to just call the guys too, so we do have a relationship. If Rich gets a head job and he's gone, I don't want these kids that he's been recruiting to be. Well, I don't know anybody. So I think that's part of what happened in that situation. And, he's back to his junior team now, and he's looking at some options that way. So, we like goal scorers, and, he had a good track record that way. So we'll kind of leave it there, I guess.
All right. That's all the time we've got tonight here on the Laker Hockey Show. Thanks to the fans who showed up here tonight. Thanks to Wade for doing our big job here of engineering for us, and for Frank Lissette back at the station. Bill Crawford, till next Monday night. So long from the Laker Hockey Show on ESPN.